Take a short break from our series in Galatians. Let me pray for us as we begin to study God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for rain. And we give thanks that even as we stand here and sit here this morning, your waters are refreshing and renewing our parched earth. And we pray that a very similar way, the same thing would happen inside this building this morning, that you would refresh us and renew us with your grace and mercy this morning. Pray that you would make your word clear to us. I pray, Father, for clear thoughts and words as I preach. And as a congregation, Lord, give us listening ears to hear from you today. Your word, you spoke your word, and indeed it still speaks today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we do pray that we would hear now as we quiet ourselves to hear from your word. We ask this through Christ. Amen. Well, as I said, I want to take a break from Galatians today, our study in the book of Galatians. One of the verses that we talked about last week, as you recall, if you were here last week, was Galatians 5:14. And Galatians 5:14, so you don't have to turn, says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And we concluded by saying last week that we don't fulfill the law when it enters our heads. We fulfill the law when it leaves our hands. Do you recall that? Nod yes for me. Thank you. All right. We don't fulfill the law when it enters our heads. We fulfill the law when it leaves our hands. And I just want to begin by saying today, I could not begin today by saying what a phenomenal job you as a congregation did in putting that verse into practice this week. It was incredible to watch you be the feet and hands of Christ all week long. What an incredible job you did of putting the love of Christ on display through not only all of you that worked in Vacation Bible School, whether you taught a class or whether you worked in a kitchen or whether you helped us clean up Friday night, whether it was those of you that helped the Kreuzbergs yesterday in their move, whether it was those of you that went to Guatemala a few weeks ago that we'll hear more about tonight. And Harry, thank you again, wherever you are, for leading our team again this year. Or whether it's those of you guys on our deacon board who have literally transformed the way the property looks over these past 6 months. Or whether it's our elder board who literally works nonstop. All those things and others, meals, put the love of God on display in our church family. And all because of that hard work and putting the love of Christ on display, I know that I'm addressing a very tired group of people this morning. It has been quite a week. One of the things that our study in the book of Galatians has shown us is that we're no longer required to practice the rituals and the ceremonies of the Old Testament. And because of what Christ did on the cross, we're no longer required to offer sacrifices. We're no longer required to keep the Jewish festivals. In particular, we've seen that we're no longer required to undergo the rite of circumcision or keep the Sabbath that the way they kept it in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, excuse me. Because of Jesus Christ, we're free from a performance mentality and the strict requirements of the Old Testament law. But just because you and I aren't required to keep the Sabbath in the same way as they did in the Old Testament era, that doesn't mean that we no longer need a Sabbath. Just because we have freedom from the law in Christ doesn't mean that we should throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. It doesn't mean that we should abandon one of God's good gifts of the Sabbath because we're no longer under the law. And I think I'm looking at a group of people who very desperately need a Sabbath rest. And so this morning, to break from Galatians, I want to take a few minutes to understand what it means to take a Sabbath rest. And you're already in Genesis chapter 2. Let's understand what a Sabbath rest is. And begin with me at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 3 of Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. This is the capstone, if you will, of the creative process, of the 6 days of creation. The seventh day is what we read about here, that God rested. So what we want to ask this morning is, what does it mean to take a Sabbath rest? And what we want to find out is what that looks like for us. What does Sabbath rest look like? And we want to do that by answering four questions. They're on the back of your bulletin, and encourage you to follow along. The first question we want to see is who? Who's at work here? And the answer is obviously God is at work, as we've seen in our passage. God is the one we see at work, but it's not just God the Father. We understand that in creation, the whole Trinity is involved. It's God the Father, and it's God the Son, who we read about creating in Colossians chapter 1, and it's God the Spirit, who we know from Genesis 1 hovered over the face of the waters. But what we need to see is that God rested. And the question that follows is, why is God resting? Why is God resting in Genesis chapter 2? He doesn't need rest. Psalm 121 tells us that He doesn't slumber or sleep. We know that He is all-powerful. We know that His strength never runs out. And so why is He resting? He rests, He stops His creating work, He ceases activity to teach us to rest. God is establishing an essential rhythm, a pattern for our work cycle. He's modeling our need for rest. And Mark 2 is clear about this. The Sabbath was made for man. So God doesn't need rest. He's doing it to show us to rest. There's a story of a missionary from the Philippines. A gentleman served there quite a long time. In the early years, as he was in the island of Luzon, he and his wife took a vacation up to the northern part of Luzon. And they came across a place on their vacation called the St. Louis Silver School, a school that trained silversmiths in the art of making all kinds of silver things. And as they toured the incredible workshop of these silversmiths, they eventually came to the gift shop, and this gentleman decided to buy a souvenir from the St. Louis Silver School, and so he bought himself a money clip, a silver money clip. It was solid silver. It was designed with an emblem on the front that was carved very intricately from silver. And so he purchased this money clip, and he used it to hold his paper money for the next 24 years. After 24 years, he was putting some bills inside his money clip, and the thing broke in half. And he'd had it so long, still serving in the island of Philippines as a missionary, he decided that he would make the trek back up to the St. Louis Silver School. And he walked into the shop and found a gentleman there about the same age as he was. And he said, I've had this thing for years. I've used this money clip for years. And the other day, explained how he broke it as he was putting some bills into it. And the gentleman, the silversmith, took the money clip and looked at it, listened to his explanation, and he says, you know, I designed this clip. As a matter of fact, I was the only one here at the St. Louis Silver School to make money clips like this. I designed this, and I made all of these that were ever made. And the gentleman asked, well, that's great. Can you fix it? They said, I designed it. I made it. I can fix it. Here's what we need to hear, is that the Sabbath The pattern of 1 and 7 is a divine design. I think a lot of you are sitting here this morning broken. And the designer says to you this morning, I can fix it. I have already provided for your brokenness in the Sabbath. So we see, first of all, the first thing we see is that it's God at work, establishing a pattern for us by ceasing His activity. But there's a second question that we need to ask about the Sabbath, and that's, when did it happen? Well, Rob, it's the seventh day, okay? And that's the obvious answer, but there's two less obvious whens that we need to see or think about this morning. And the first when that we see or that we derive from this is that this took place before the fall. This took place before sin ever entered the world. I think so often we think we need to rest because of our fallenness and our sinfulness. As a side effect of sin, our bodies get sick, they get wearied and tired. But friend, what you need to see is that God established the Sabbath before the fall, before Genesis 3, when sin even entered the world. It's the same way with work. And I know how most of us guys think at times, work is evil. It's the same with work. God established work before the fall as well. So we need to see that sin has nothing to do with our need for rest. This took place before the fall. But the second when question, not only did it take place before the fall, it took place before the law. It took place before God gave the law to Moses. And Exodus 20 is what we think of typically when He gave Moses the Ten Commandments and codified the Sabbath. The Sabbath came before the law, friends. And what we need to see is that this is not just part of the Old Testament law. The Sabbath is a creation ordinance. Now, what does that mean? That means there were a few things that God set up from the very creation of the world, decrees, if you will. I just mentioned the decree for work down the page if you want to see that in Genesis 2:15. God says, the Lord God made the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And so we see the ordinance of creation, work established at creation. We not only see work established, another decree, creation ordinance, is marriage. And further down the page in verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. And so you see the ordinance of marriage established at creation. The ordinance of fruitfulness is established back in chapter 1, where God commands us to be fruitful and multiply. These are things that God puts in place from the very foundation of the world, and the need for Sabbath rest is one of them. So the when of the Sabbath is that God establishes it before the fall and before the law. The third question we need to ask about the Sabbath this morning, and that is what? What do we see God doing on the seventh day? And we see two things in Genesis chapter 2. It says there that He blessed the day. Let me get back here to the page. In verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. What does it mean that He blessed the seventh day? Well, when God blesses people, He treats them with divine favor. And when He blesses this day, He looks on it in a special way. He gives this day His special favor. So the first what is that He blessed the day. The second thing we see is that He made it holy. Or your version might say in verse 3, He sanctified it. Well, what does it mean to make something holy, to sanctify it? It means to set it apart for special use. Some of you are wearing your church clothes today. They are, quote, holy because you only wear them today. And we're glad you do. This room is called a sanctuary because it is a place dedicated to the worship of God. And we might have stretched that a little this past week. Nonetheless, it's called a sanctuary where we gather to worship God, set apart for special use. We don't eat dinner in here. So when it says that God made the day holy or sanctified it. He set it apart to be different from the other days of the week. He sets it aside as different and different by design. So we see God resting. We see that it happened before the fall and before the law. We see that He blessed the day and made it holy. Well then, Rob, how do we observe the Sabbath? And for those of you who are nervous that you're thinking I'm reestablishing the law for us this morning, just hang on. How then, since all this is in the creation account, how then do we observe the Sabbath? Well, there's four things I think we need to see about observing the Sabbath. And the first way that we observe the Sabbath is that we observe the Sabbath on the Lord's Day, and that is Sunday. In the New Testament, after the time of Christ, we see the church beginning to meet on the first day of the week, Sunday, to commemorate Christ's resurrection. See that in Acts chapter 20 and 1 Corinthians 16, Revelation chapter 1. They begin to meet on Sunday. Furthermore, there's nothing written to the church that says that they're doing it wrong. There's nothing addressed to tell them stop meeting on Sunday and go back to meeting on Saturday. So we see the New Testament pattern for the Sabbath change to Sunday and not Saturday as it is in the Jewish calendar. One way that we observe the Sabbath on the Lord's Day is by attending worship. Being instructed from the Word of God like we're doing right now and giving praise to God through our singing. So the first way is we observe the Sabbath on the Lord's Day. The second way that we observe the Sabbath is with freedom. And here you can breathe a big sigh of relief. How do we observe the Sabbath? On the Lord's Day, but we observe it with freedom. That means the strict regulations of the Old Testament law for Sabbath keeping are removed. Whew, and thank goodness for that. The law of Moses commanded that anyone working on the Sabbath was to be put to death in Exodus 31. Exodus 34 forbids planting and harvesting on the Sabbath. Numbers 15, a man is caught collecting firewood on the Sabbath and is actually put to death. All of those strict regulations about Sabbath keeping are a thing of the past. They belong to the Old Covenant. Mark chapter 2, verse 27, and he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." So we observe it with freedom. And this means that the elders aren't going to be patrolling around watching your house this afternoon to see whether you cut the grass or not. It means we're not going to be driving around in the wintertime with our thermal imaging devices to see whether you've got a fire lit on Sunday in the winter. You know, we're not going to go park in the parking lot of Publix this afternoon to see if you're doing your grocery shopping on Sunday. There's enormous freedom in the way we observe the Sabbath. And it is so severe, those Old Testament warnings are so severe because the Sabbath is a picture of our salvation that Christ fulfills. And no work can be done because there is no work involved in our salvation. We can do nothing to save ourselves. So we observe it with great freedom. We observe it on the Lord's Day. We observe it with freedom. But there's a third way that we observe the Sabbath, and that is we observe the Sabbath by praying. I don't mean now that you spend the entire day on your knees. I mean by praying, I mean giving attention to God. Now, the Sabbath isn't just a day off of work. It's a day to stop your other activities and a day to consider God in all His greatness. It's a day to stay aware of and responsive to God. I put a quote in your bulletin that says this: "At regular intervals, we need to quit our work and contemplate His. Quit talking to each other and listen to Him. God knows we need this and has given us a means in Sabbath, a day for praying and playing, simply enjoying what He is." And so the Sabbath is a day, friends, to give attention to God. And that is a third way that we observe the Sabbath, is praying, giving attention to Him. There's a fourth way that we observe the Sabbath, and that is by playing. And I don't mean now that you turn the TV on and sit on the couch all day long. I don't mean complete inactivity. I mean by playing, I mean doing something that you don't normally do on the other 6 days. There are some things that we have to do by necessity. We will change diapers today. We will take out the trash today. We will fix meals today. But friends, remember the day that God made the day holy. He set it apart. He made it different by design. The Sabbath is meant to be different from the other 6 days of the week. And this is extremely difficult for us as North Americans. And probably extremely difficult for us as men. Because most of us guys derive so much of our self-image from our work. Think about how foolish the Sabbath sounded to the Israelites. They were an agricultural economy. They depended on farming for their survival. Farming communities, conditions are right for harvest. Wind conditions are right for harvest. Everything else stops. And the window of opportunity is small and specific. And so to give an entire weekday to the Israelites to pray and play would have seemed like insanity. Are you kidding me? This is harvest. What do you mean stop work? And so we see that for God's call for the day to be different, it's a test of faith, isn't it? For them to stop working and trust God to bring the harvest in His providence. I think, gentlemen, the same thing holds true for you and for me, as that the Sabbath, the call to Sabbath rest is a call to trust God's providence and take a day to pray and play. We don't take a Sabbath rest, I think, is because we're afraid what will happen if we do. Now, this might not be for all of you guys. Some of us, perhaps. There's a story about two men out in the woods, Ed and Bill, who were hired to clear a field of trees. And Bill wants it to be a productive day, so Bill starts in with fervor. I mean, he's swinging that axe like crazy, working up a sweat. He's got a full head of steam going. Ed starts working as well. Ed begins to whack away at the trees, and you know, Bill notices that Ed is occasionally taking breaks. Bill's working through break time because they're getting paid by the tree, and so he wants to fell as many trees as he can. Ed stops for breaks and takes his breaks over in the distance, and Bill just keeps going. And by the end of the day, you know what's going on. Bill is exhausted, just drained. And here comes Ed, kind of still okay and kind of joking around about stuff, and Bill's had enough, and he says, "What is the deal with you? I have worked all day long. I have beat my brains out felling these trees. I see you taking breaks on a frequent basis, and I can't believe that you've brought down more trees than I have. What is going on?" And Ed finally says, "Well, did you see while I was sitting over there taking my breaks that I was sharpening my axe?" You don't believe me. I can see by the expression on your face, you think I'm crazy today. Where has he gone with this stuff? I'm telling you, if I can speak directly to you as your pastor, you need a Sabbath. I'm not going back and undoing what we've seen in Galatians. You know we're not under the law of Moses. You know we're not required to keep the Sabbath like it was kept in the Old Testament. There's tremendous freedom. But I'm telling you, you need a Sabbath. It's not just an old archaic custom that I'm pulling out of Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Hear it. It's a creation ordinance. This is not something that we can neglect and just go on working. You will pay. Because this is here by divine design. And as a body, we need to rest. I will tell you quite honestly, I stink at keeping a Sabbath. My Sabbath is tomorrow. And I'm really pretty rotten at it. And so I hope to grow in the way I keep my Sabbath. I'm learning and growing from what I read by Eugene Peterson. So what specifically can you do? I mean, let's just get real practical here. One is you need to decide that you're going to keep a Sabbath. That you need to decide that, yeah, what Pastor Rob said wasn't smoke and mirrors. I guess I do see it as a creation ordinance from Genesis chapter 2. It was before sin entered the world. It was before the law. And so the first thing I would suggest is just to make a decision to attempt it. That might mean turning off your cell phone. Wouldn't that be a shock? Or turning off the BlackBerry or staying off the internet for a day. This is radical stuff, I realize. I would suggest, and because I'm so rotten at it, I'm reading these suggestions from an article from Discipleship Journal. Okay, so this is not water I have treaded before. We need to decide to do it. We need to ask God for His help since this is His design. God, enable me to rest. We need to protect our Sabbath. We need to guard it from intrusions. We need to, again, we're free. We can be flexible with it. My Sabbath is tomorrow. Those of you involved in ministry, and many of you are here at New Covenant, if Sunday's not the day for you to pray and play, pick another day. Seems from Romans chapter 14 that although the church met on the Lord's Day, that the day is not all that significant. Involve your family if you can. Actually rest on the Sabbath. Quit packing things into your Sabbath to where you have so much resting activities that you're not resting. Know that you're going to fail and just go back to it again the next week. And learn from other people as they keep it. I would love to hear how you keep your Sabbath so I can be more diligent in applying this. This is something that we need to do. I hope your Sabbath is today. And I hope you're resting. But if it's not, then you need it. How do we take a Sabbath rest? We see the who, we see the when, we see the what God did, and we see the how of Sabbath keeping. Let me pray for us as we close. We give thanks, Father, for your gracious provision. And we give thanks for the provision of Sabbath rest. Father, for those of us not under the law, teach us how to keep it in a way that refreshes and renews and revives us. Father, I pray for us as men, in particular in the congregation, that you would give us your grace to practice this rhythm. Lord, that we can be attentive to you, that we can both pray and play. And Father, as a church body, I pray that you would give us rest from last week, Father, but rest more in particular in you. And all these things we pray through the name of Christ. Amen. Friends, thanks. We'll see you tonight.